and I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood before the great and the terrible day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call.
Amen, and welcome back to the Remnant Call. This is going to be part two of a two-part episode called There is Hope in Zion. And if you haven't heard part one, go back into the archives, remnantcall.com. Check us out on our YouTube channel, Remnant Call, and check us out on Facebook. And just listen to that first part, because this program is so important, folks. It is important that you understand that God is going to do something. Look, there's deception out there. And I know many people are happy about what's going on in the elections, but don't get distracted for the hour that we are in, because when they will call peace and safety, that's when the destruction will come. We've got to be alert to the hours right now, because it is a deceptive time that we are living. Brother Benjamin had mentioned on the last episode that it shall be as in the days of Lot. And folks, if you haven't looked around you right now with what's going on, it is the days of Lot. There is confusion. Our children don't even know who they are coming up anymore. It is time for us to be understanding what we believe in, and so that we can rightly convey it to other people, because we need to strengthen each other as remnant believers for the hours that are ahead of us, because they are going to be trying, but God is going to do something amazing for those that will trust Him. And so we left off last time with the new man, the man-child, the one that is coming forth, that God is going to bring forth an exciting time through His last days people, as Jesus literally is living through us in those last moments. And we want to pick it up there by bringing Brother Benjamin back on, and Brother Michael with us. Are you there with us, Brother Benjamin and Michael?
Hey, Frank.
Yeah, praise God.
Amen. Amen. Well, Benjamin, just you were on a roll and just bringing forth this wonderful message. You left off in Ezekiel, and just pick it up, brother, and continue, because God, you've got us on here wanting more to know about what is God getting ready to do in this hour.
Well, hallelujah. Such a blessing to be back. And,
yeah,
you know, I'm just rejoicing that the Lord would allow us to see into the mystery that has been hidden in His Word from the beginning. You know, the Scripture talks about the mystery that was hidden from the ages. This is in Colossians 1:26. There's a mystery that was hidden by God and was only revealed in part. But now it's going to be manifest in God's people, and that mystery is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Only now that mystery is going to be brought to its fullness, as God is going to make the new creation, if you will, grow into the fullness of God's planned redemption, the restitution of all things. We are going to be restored our righteousness. We're going to be restored the holiness that man had before the fall. Now, some will want to argue, some voices will raise up and argue, well, we're already justified, Benjamin. Yes, we are, legally. But we are not sanctified. We're not walking in the very presence of God. You don't walk among the stones of fire. You don't see the angelic beings. The heavens are not opened. We are not being translated into the very presence of God. There is more coming than we have yet seen. Jesus prophesied and said, you will do greater works, and that word has not yet been fulfilled. So, you know, we can sit with our doctrines and we can sit with our dogmatic thinking, but these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will lay their hands on the sick and they shall recover. And what we have today is a church which basically believes, and that's where the power of God stops. We have a church of compromise. You know, this is the Laodicean hour. We are the church that is rich in terms of things of the flesh. We are the people of God who have everything in terms of the comforts of the flesh. And we, in reality, are in poverty in terms of things of the spirit. So, praise God. The Lord always has a good solution for every problem. God's solution is to take everything away from us in the flesh. That's what the black horse is all about. Everything shall be removed from this people. The comforts that we know, they're gone. The wealth that we've all enjoyed, it'll be removed. The joy and the feasting and the celebration, it'll all be taken away. And when the end of all flesh comes, there's going to be fear in the way for people that are walking in the natural man. The only people that are going to be able to stand in the night that is coming are the people who are full of the anointing without measure. And that's what we're talking about tonight. There is hope in Zion for the people who are willing to come out of Babylon spiritually, emotionally, mentally, come out of this compromised apostate church system. And how do I know that it's compromised? Well, the Lord said so. In the last days, there shall be a great falling away. What do you think that falling away was? It wasn't the world. The world can't fall away. The world's always been in the hand of the devil. It's only the church that can fall away. And we were told very clearly in Scripture that in the last days, a great falling away, not a little falling away. We, you know, mankind, God's people have always been falling away. Look at the history of Israel. Constant backsliding and then constant trouble. And the people would suddenly, in the midst of persecution, in the midst of affliction, they would cry out to the Lord and he would send a deliverer. And he would restore their prosperity, and it wouldn't be but a generation, and they would be back to compromise and sin, and again there would be persecution, tribulation, and trouble. Because there's no peace for the wicked, and there's no good fruit that comes from sowing the seeds of the flesh. And so here we are, the church in the United States. I mean, you know, look at the country, people, right? There's the testimony to the testimony of the church. This is what the American church has done. We're the salt. And look how well we salted the American culture. And if the salt be worthless, it's no good for anything. And rather, it'll just be thrown out and trampled underfoot. Even as the Gentiles shall trample the outer court underfoot, so the apostate American Christians are going to be trampled underfoot. Now, nobody wants to hear that. We'd rather hear that we're all going to disappear in a preacher rapture. Well, I didn't come here to lie to you. And I know from the Lord and I know from Holy Scripture that the rapture is at the last trumpet. And I can count to seven.
Amen.
And the remnant is translated. The remnant doesn't need to be purified in the fire because they've already been purified by the walk through the great tribulation. You know, it's not going to be easy on the remnant. Even though the power of God is coming and the deliverance of God is coming, it's still going to be a difficult time because the remnant is going to look on and see. Even as it testifies in Psalm 91, you shall look on and see the recompense of the wicked. And when we see the judgment that's going to come forth upon this ruined age and upon this wicked generation, it's going to shake us to the core. And the reason we're in the remnant is by the sovereign mercy of God. I'm convinced that some of the people in the remnant are not the greatest of saints, but the least of the saints. In this hour, the greatest saints are full of pride. Therefore, they've disqualified themselves. It's the broken people, the people who wonder how they even got saved, that God's appointed to be in the remnant. But the remnant is going to be purified as they walk through this time. It's going to be a tough time, but for the remnant, it will also be a time of blessing because the presence of the Lord is coming. Hallelujah. That's essentially what we're talking about tonight. There's hope in Zion because there's a deliverance in the camp of the Most High God, but we've got to come out of Babylon, and we've got to come out of compromise if we want any part of it. Amen?
Amen to that.
Wow, amen. That was a very, very powerful, a very, very powerful word right there. And I pray that many will be able to understand and to put themselves in order. The Bible says we should put our houses in order because God is a holy God and is going to dwell in us. He said the heavens and the heavens of heavens cannot contain him. Where's the house that you will build for me? And the Bible says that God dwells in his people. And that confirms the scripture that you read where it said that the kingdom of God is within you. The church or the people who claim to be leaders in the church have to come back to the place of understanding that God desires to walk and to talk in his people. He desires to be in his people. That is the kingdom of God. And Benjamin, you mentioned so many things while talking. I will advise that as many people as are listening should hear this word over and over again. Thank God for Brother Frank. They should hear this over and over again until they are able to assimilate and to understand what the Lord is saying. The Bible expects us to chew the cord. The animal that chew the cord, that's the kind of animal we should emulate. We should chew the cord of the Word of God. We should meditate upon it. And when you look at the book of Thessalonians, chapter 2, you see the deceit and the deception that has taken over the church. And thank God tonight, Benjamin, you've mentioned several times, whether consciously or unconsciously, I'm sure it's by the Spirit, you have been talking so much about this so-called pre-tribulation rapture. Where the people have been so sensitized to avoid any kind of hardship that may come their way. This is evil. This is ungodly. This is not of God. Many times in the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, when Jesus talks to his people, he said to them, "Behold, I have told you." Why would he say that? Behold, I have told you. Why would he say that? Because it is so important that the people should understand the warnings that God is sending through his prophets. When he was speaking in Jeremiah, I said, rising up early. I always send my prophets to these people. It doesn't mean God sleeps. God does not sleep. But that means that every time he's sending prophets unto them to warn. But the church loves to hear their own teachers. They've heaped up kind of doctrines. They've developed a kind of itching ears. And God is not amused. And when you look at chapter 2 of Thessalonians, the second book of Thessalonians, chapter 2, when you look at it from verse 3, it said, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first." Benjamin, when you were talking, you talked about a falling away, which is the apostasy. I mean, you don't fall away just for falling away's sake. You must be falling away from something. You must be falling away from something righteous, something holy, something good. You are falling away from God. And the scripture says so that the day will not come except there comes an apostasy first. And the man of sin is going to be revealed, the son of perdition. I mean, I don't know what many people are listening to in the church. For them to imagine they will not be here when the Antichrist is here, the Lord is coming to take them away, and everything is going to be destroyed, and they will only come back to inherit. No, no. That is a satanic doctrine. It is so sick. Many people do not see the seriousness of the evil of this doctrine. But it's so evil, and the Lord hates it. Just like it's spoken in the book of Revelation concerning the doctrines found in some churches. It says you have certain doctrines, and I hate that doctrine. And the Lord is warning us. So I really want to bless God for this opportunity, that this word is coming to the people, and I'm praying, I'm trusting God, that as many people as are listening will see the urgency, that there is no hope in any other name given on earth whereby we can be saved. And this doesn't mean you are just born again. Oh, I'm born again, I'm okay. That is not what it is saying. And thank God my brother has hammered on this several times. You got born again doesn't mean, oh, once born again, always saved, always born again, always free. You now get born again and then you go back into sin. God cannot be mocked. So I believe the essence of this word that is coming at this time is to wake up the church. The Bible talked, when God was speaking to Moses, he said, make sure you build according to the pattern. And the Bible spoke in the book of Revelation, it said the outer court is given to the Gentiles to trample upon. The outer court is the court of Christians who have been lackadaisical. That is the place where Christians live. We love to hear only what their pastor says. We will not read the Bible on their own. We will not check the scriptures for themselves. They are not Bereans. They don't care about the word of God. They only care about what their pastor says. The Bible says the outer court, and it is given to the Gentiles. They will trample upon it. So, brethren, I bless the Lord for this time, and I bless the Lord for Brother Frank, and bless the Lord for as many of you that have the opportunity to hear this word at this time. And I pray, Brother Benjamin, God continues to pour that anointing and cause the anointing to well up from within you, so that he will say everything that he has on his mind to say. Because at this very time, at this very minute where we are, even the scripture says, if it were possible, even the very elect shall be deceived. Thank God, it is not possible. But that tells you right there that the deception will be so grand. And the greater deception is that deception that comes from the church, that comes from the so-called men of God, that comes from the so-called people that should know God. That is where the deception is thickest.
Well, you're right on, Michael. And if any of our listeners are having any questions or doubts about the error of the pre-trib rapture, I would point you to Jeremiah chapter 23, in which God speaks a warning. Actually, he pronounces a judgment on the pastors and the teachers. And he says, woe unto the pastors and the teachers of my people who teach them lies and tell them they will never see the day of evil. Mm. And then he goes on and says, I've heard from the Lord a whirlwind is coming of judgment. And in the last days, you will understand this perfectly. So in Jeremiah 23, we know from the text that it's a prophecy for the last days. And God pronounces a judgment and a woe upon the pastors and teachers who teach the people that they will never see the day of evil. And that, my friends, is the pre-trib rapture doctrine, the pre-trib rapture deception. And it's a lie from the pit of hell. There's no scripture. There's not a single scripture to support it. It is absolutely wrong. But, you know, the Gentile church is not well studied in the Word. They have not studied to show themselves approved. They've relied on another man. And this is the hour in which the scripture tells us, in Micah chapter 5 to 7, the scripture says, place no confidence in a guide. If you've been relying on your pastor to teach you the Word of God and to understand the Word of God for you, you've already violated the commandment of the Lord. And Jesus Christ quoted from Micah 7, Olivet Discourse in Matthew 24, which tells us the prophecies of Micah 7 are a prophecy for the end days, for the last days. And in this section of Scripture, you are told, place no confidence in a guide and trust not in a friend, because this is the hour of the great betrayal. This is the time when a man's enemies are the members of his own house, when daughter will turn against mother, son will betray father, and your own family will even turn you over to the death. But, you know, some people, I would assume most of our listeners realize the preacher of rapture is a deception. Others are probably offended and have turned us off. Or some, you know, perhaps want to study further. I don't want to stay on that point. I want to get back to our message. For those who are going to be part of the remnant, there are tremendous promises in the Word of God. And all we have to do to be part of the remnant is repent and return to the Lord. Zechariah chapter 9, verses 12 to 17. Return to the stronghold, you prisoners of hope. The stronghold of God, the high tower of God, which is Jesus. Return to the stronghold of God, Jesus Christ, from whom you have deeply departed. And the Scripture calls us prisoners of hope. Though you're in prison to the sins of the flesh, because whoever sins becomes a slave of sin. You don't just pick up a little sin and play with it a little, then put it down. It's sticky, icky. It's like tar. It's like oily and tar, and it gets all over you. You get this black stuff all over your hands, and you start trying to wipe your hands, and before you know it, it's all over your garments. Only the blood of Jesus can cleanse you, but only if you're willing to stop touching the unclean thing. You can't keep going back, because if the Lord were to deliver you and then you went back yet again, you'd have seven times as many demons. And I know the church is oblivious to how the spiritual world really works. Christians are not well versed. Now, some understand, most have not a clue, but to the extent we open the door to sin, we open the door to Satan, and he comes to steal, to kill, and destroy, and he also comes to make slaves of men. And so by what you are overcome, by that you are enslaved, and that's why people that drink and continue to drink and get drunk become alcoholics, and people that experiment with drugs become drug addicts, and people that engage in fornication and adultery and refuse to repent become sex addicts. You become addicted to your sin. At first you were doing the sin, and now the sin is doing you, because you've been taken captive by the power of the devil. And the remnant is going to be set free, but there is hope in Zion. Return to the Lord, you prisoners of hope. Even today do I declare that I will render double unto you. If we return to the Lord, not only are we going to be forgiven and set free, but you're going to receive a double portion blessing. And look at Zechariah 9. When I have bent Judah for me, and he's talking about bending Judah as a bow, as a weapon, and filled the bow with Ephraim, and raised up thy sons, O Zion, against thy sons, O Greece, O Gentiles, and I've made Zion as the sword of a mighty man. Reminds me when I was really little in the Lord, I was 14, and the Lord spoke audibly to me the first 3 years of my life, I would have to say probably every day, and what a blessing that was. But one of the things the Lord said to me in those years, and he repeated it many times, so I remember it clearly, he said to me, when you turn 40, I'm going to use you. And of course, the Day of the Lord book came forth when I turned 40. But he went on and he said, and I am making you into a weapon, and we shall level the mountains. And here, the Scripture is referring to the sons of Zion as a weapon in the hand of the Lord. He's going to make you as a sword of a mighty man. Oh, and this sword moves at the speed of the flash of lightning. And the Lord shall be seen over them. And his arrow shall go forth as the lightning. See it, folks? Zechariah 9:14, the Lord will be wielding the weapons of Zion, who are the sons of the anointed. This is the camp of the anointed ones, and they will be the weapons in the hand of the Lord. and he will use them like lightning. Verse 15, the Lord shall defend them, the remnant, and they shall devour and subdue. What's the great tribulation going to look like for the anointed remnant of God? We are going to devour them. We are going to subdue them. And the Lord their God shall save them in the day as the flock of his people. And the Lord shall save us, for we are the flock of his people, in whom there is no guile. We were willing to fast and pray and put away all of our sins. And the ones that were still sticky, icky on our fingers, we cry out to God for deliverance. The Lord shall defend the remnant, and the anointed ones will devour and subdue like lightning. And the Lord their God will save them in the day that is coming as the flock of his people. And they shall be as stones of a crown, lifted up as an ensign upon the land. Now, I'd love to do an entire study on the meaning of that word, ensign. Those of you that are interested in doing your own word studies, go find out what that means right there. When he talks about lifting up the anointed ones as an ensign, as a banner, as a sign upon the land, for a testimony for the greatness of God, for how great is his goodness. And how great is his beauty, and this goodness and beauty and power of God will be evident upon the countenance of the remnant. And the new corn shall make the young men cheerful, and new wine the maids. There'll be a joy for the blessing of the Lord in the camp of the righteous.
Amen.
There's a war coming, people. A war that cannot be fought in the flesh. The end of all flesh is come. You cannot defeat the beast, which is an empire unlike any of the empires Satan has raised up. The fourth beast was very diverse and terrifying, and with iron feet, it stamped out the residue of the earth. It has the head of a lion, the body of a leopard, and the feet of a bear. The Antichrist comes out of the lion kingdom, and it has the body of a leopard. It moves quickly like Nazi Germany. Blitzkrieg. Lightning war. See, the enemy is going to try to pretend that they can wage lightning war too. But they don't move at 600 million miles an hour like we do. So they're going to lose this lightning war. But it has the feet of a bear, and the bear is communist Russia. Of course, it's the most bloody of all regimes. So the Antichrist kingdom is going to be unlike any other in its horror and its depravity and its evil. But it will be confronted by the kingdom of God, and the Lord shall defend them, and the Lord will be seen over them, and he will raise up the sons of Zion as a sword of a mighty man. Now the Gentiles all want to disappear. Fine. I tell my Gentile friends who believe in the preacher rapture, take off. We got this. Us Israelites will take care of this problem. But for those of you who don't disappear when the days of trouble come, don't fear. Rather, repent and return to the Lord, because the Lord is able to defend you. He will deliver you. He spoke to me and told me, I will protect that which is mine. If you give your life to the Lord, you'll be on the list, the short list of the remnant to be delivered. And hallelujah. Isaiah 1:9, we read, unless the Lord of hosts had left us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have become like Gomorrah. And this is Isaiah speaking of the nation of Israel. Only a remnant was saved out of the nation of Israel. Though the sons of Israel, the natural-born descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, though they be as the sand of the sea, only a remnant shall be saved, for judgment is overflowing in righteousness. And the scripture says, to the Jew first, and then to the Gentiles. And so the same will be true in the Gentile church. Though the number of the professing Christians of the Gentile nations be as the sand of the sea, only a remnant of them shall be saved. Jesus told us so much when he said, many will seek to enter the kingdom of God through the wide road that leadeth to destruction, and they will not be allowed. They will say on that day, Lord, Lord, we went to church and we prophesied in your name. We did all these works in your name. And Jesus said, I will say unto them, I've never known you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. And the Lord said, straight is the way, narrow is the gate that leads to eternal life. Few there be that find it. Now, if that brings fear unto us, let it be the fear of the Lord. Because only the people who are truly being transformed from their sin are the born-again saints of the Most High God. The apostate church, who believe in the Lord in their heads and honor the Lord with their lips, but in their hearts are far from Him, and continue to follow their devils. They actually are following their father, the devil. They are not saved. They're going to be among the many on that day who cry out, Lord, Lord, and they're going to be utterly shocked to find out they actually were not born of the Spirit of God. Don't be among them, my friend, because on that day there is no remedy. The judgment upon them will be eternal. And I can think of nothing worse than to believe in your head you are a Christian, and yet with your life to not be led of the Holy Spirit, rather to follow the knowledge of good and evil, the dark counsel of this ruined age, in your own heart, to follow your own way and follow some religious manifestation, but not the Spirit of God, and to find out on the day of judgment you weren't even saved, and then to go to hell as someone who professed Christianity, but nevertheless to not be born again, to be among the congregation of the dead, to be listening to a pastor whose preaching and teaching is nothing but the ministries of death. Believe me, brothers and sisters, there are entire congregations. The Bible calls them the congregation of the dead. The man who wanders out of the way of understanding. The man who wanders from the true understanding of the Word of God and ends up receiving the doctrines of devils, falling under the deception of this final hour, he shall remain in the congregations of the dead. Entire congregations who gather to study the Bible on Sunday, who are going to go to hell for eternity. And wicked men shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived, declares the Scriptures. But for the remnant who are willing to repent from their sin, the Lord offers a way out. One last Scripture I want to share. Psalm 144 is a prophetic psalm dealing with the 144,000. And in it, we read in verse 5, bow the heavens, O Lord, and come down. Folks, that's what's going to happen. The Lord is coming in His people before He comes in the clouds. And the stars in the sky herald His coming among us this September. So it is time for us to return to the Lord. It's time for us to recognize God dwells in holiness. We can't play with our favorite sin anymore. And if you haven't begun regularly fasting and praying, you should begin. Because the hindrances from the spirit world in this hour are so great that if you don't at least spend some time fasting and praying, you're likely to get nowhere spiritually. That's been my experience. If you want to make significant progress in the things of the Spirit, you want to tear down the satanic strongholds that have control over your children, you want to pray for the deliverance of your friends and your family, you want to see the deliverance of God in your own life, we've got to begin fasting and praying in accordance with the commandments in the book of Joel. Amen?
Amen to that. You know, Benjamin, just when you're speaking earlier, just reminded me that, you know, today so many churches, they paint God as this little fuzzy teddy bear that's so cuddly and so nice and kind. And folks, the truth is our God is a warrior. And he's coming back, and the Bible says that his vesture is dipped in blood, and he's ready for war, and he wants a people who are ready to fight with him. And the problem we're running into today is that we're bringing people to know God in this little, you know, this whole self-serving, humanistic manner, and God just wants to bring peace and joy and happiness and everything. Instead of God wants to prepare a people for the hour that is ahead of us. And folks, don't be surprised when everything falls apart. Your God is simply trying to do a work in preparation so that you are a useful believer, that you're not just someone that's sitting by as the world goes to hell, as your neighbors don't know about who God is. God wants us to actually, you know, it's funny that there are people dying for their faith, and yet we're afraid to walk across the street and share with our own neighbor. God wants to get rid of that, and he wants to dig deep within our hearts, as Benjamin was saying. He wants to root the sin out so that we can be freed from it, and that we can live holy for this last hour. And so, Brother Benjamin, thank you for that, because God wants to use us, not to be useless, but to be useful in this hour that's upon us.
Amen, brother.
Hallelujah. Amen. That's very powerful. I just pray that many of the Remnant Call listeners and those who hear from friends, those who hear this word will be impacted on by God to give it the seriousness that it deserves. We are living in very, very wonderful time. We are living in a very, very serious time. It's going to be a very bad time for people who don't know God. At the same time, it's going to be a glorious time for those who have given everything to Jesus. According to that Daniel, Benjamin, that you shared on earlier, where you were talking about the 70 weeks of Daniel, we understood there that God has a covenant with humanity through Christ for 7 years. And Jesus came the first 3.5 years, he used it, and he told us, in the whole testament, I am the children whom the Lord has given me. We are for signs and we are for wonders. So, and when you go to the book of Romans, it begins to tell us that the whole creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. We can actually also put it this way, that the whole creation is waiting for the man-child company of God. Now, there is something here that people have to aspire to it. God is not just going to drop it on your lap. You are going to be like the 300 of Gideon. And you are right. Going to be ready, even though you know you're going to face about 33,000 soldiers, only 300 of you. You have to have something in you that gives you the assurance that this is the place you are supposed to be at this time. So there is no doubt, just like it happened to Aaron, God is pouring its oil, and this oil is upon Christ. You know, Benjamin, when you were talking earlier on, you talked about the anointing without measure. The anointing without measure was given unto Christ, and because he is the head, and just like the oil was poured upon the head of Aaron, that anointing poured from the head of Aaron right down to his head. So we are going to partake in that same anointing without measure that Jesus had. And that 3.5 years is being given to this man-child company to show forth the glory and the power of God. So I have good news for the global government that is coming. And the good news is that upon Mount Zion, there shall be deliverance and holiness, and the house of Jacob shall possess their possession. The good news is that God is sending a people, and nothing can stop them. They are a people from eternity, from the foundations. God has ordained that they will come. And these people are coming in our time, and they are going to carry the answer. In fact, like you said, brother, you said it right. They are the ensign to the nations. They are the ensign to the people that the kingdom of God is amongst us. The kingdom of God is about to be revealed. You know what happens when the ark, there's going to be an unveiling of the ark of testimony in this hour. And this ark of testimony is talking about the remnants of God. And inside them, is the manna of God that never decays. Inside them is the word of God signified by the tablets of stone. And inside them is the rod of Aaron that budded at midnight. That is very, very significant. That is very, very significant. We are now in the midnight hour. Look around you. It is obviously midnight. The church is sleeping. The world is sleeping. Everyone seems to be sleeping. The pastors are doing their job. They are doing bazaar right in the midst of the church. They are turning the house of God into the house of robbers and into the house of harlots. Everything is going up because it is midnight. Darkness is covering the people. Darkness is covering the earth, and gross darkness covering the people because it is midnight. But what happened? At midnight also there was contention. Who is the right prophet? Look at the right people of God. There is contention in the church. The white collar people and so many other clergy and all manner of people are laying claim upon God's heritage. And they are saying, we are the people of God. We are the authentic people of God. But what happened at midnight? The controversy and the contention was resolved. Moses said, bring your rods. They brought forth their rods. And the Bible said, at midnight, now only God's people, only the remnant will be able to operate at midnight. Because at midnight, it was only the rod of Aaron that budded, and it brought forth fruit. We are in the midnight hour, and the world and the church is about to witness what they've never seen before. They're about to witness the manifestation of God in his people. It's been unveiled in a people. Brother, God bless you. God bless you indeed for that word. And Brother Frank, God bless you. It will strengthen you to do more like this. I'm really blessed myself. This is a wonderful word.
You talked about the rod that budded from Aaron. But in Isaiah 11, we're told, there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. Well, the rod out of the stem of Jesse was the life of Jesus Christ. But the branch that grows out of the root of David, the root of Jesse, that's the anointed remnant of this hour. And that word for branch in this scripture in Isaiah 11, verse 1, is netzer, and it actually means greenness, a striking color of green, or figuratively a descendant of Jesus, a descendant of David, a descendant of Jesse will grow forth out of the root, which is Jesus Christ, the root, which is the life of Almighty God, out of which Jesse and King David came, and the life of Jesus Christ came out of the root, the Godhead nature of Jesus. What's amazing, though, is that word also means to guard from danger and to fulfill a covenant. It means to guard in a secret place. So this branch that comes forth out of the roots at the end of the age is coming forth to guard the remnant. And it comes from the root word natsar, which means a hidden thing or a watchman. And so the Hebrew words testify of the reality of what this branch represents. Zechariah chapter 6, the branch is revealed again to us, and we are told, "Speak unto him, saying, Thus says the Lord of hosts, Behold, the man whose name is the branch, and he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord." And that word for out of his place, in Hebrew, it's, let me just look up the word here, it's takah, that's right. And it means from the bottom, as in depression, the lowest place. The ones who come to be part of the anointed remnant in this hour actually came from the bottom, from the place where they were utterly poured out, like the life of Job, who suffered the loss of all things in the natural, that they could be brought to the end of themselves, so that they would be ready to literally let the power of the cross of Jesus set them free from the rule and the tyranny of the things of the flesh, and that the mind of the knowledge of good and evil could be crucified and brought to an end, that the life of God could now come within them without hindrance. And they will grow up out of this place of utter despair, and they will build the temple of the Lord. And, you know, Isaiah 11:1 is telling us, it's a prophecy of the coming of Jesus Christ, first as a rod out of the stem of Jesse, as a man himself, and then as a branch, as a hidden watcher coming out of the very root of the tree. And the prophecy of Isaiah 11 shall be fulfilled again, and the Spirit of the Lord will rest upon them, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, and they shall be of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and they will not judge with the sight of their eyes, but with righteousness they shall judge and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth, and they will smite the earth with the rod of their mouth, with the breath of his lips, they will slay the wicked. Now, Jesus has not yet done this, but he's about to come in judgment. He's about to cast fire upon the earth, as he promised. That fire is first coming in the remnant. Isaiah 16, verse 14 tells us the remnant shall be very small and feeble. That word for feeble, it means, you know, not many strong, not many valiant. For out of Jerusalem shall go forth a remnant, and they that escape unto Mount Zion, and the zeal of the Lord shall do this. It's the Lord that is going to deliver the remnant. You know, a lot of people today are, you know, how am I going to deliver myself? You're not. This is the day of the Lord. And if you're in the remnant, the Lord will do this. All you have to do is repent and lose your life for Jesus' sake. Stop trying to save your life, as he warned us. If any man seeks to save his life, he will lose it. Rather, lose your life for the sake of the Lord and the sake of the kingdom. Surrender to the Lord. Give your life to the Lord. Worship the Lord. Turn off the entertainment of Babylon. Come out of Babylon spiritually, mentally, and emotionally, and consecrate yourself as a vessel dedicated unto the Lord, and with prayer and fasting, seek to be completely transformed. And the promises of the remnant of God shall come upon you and your house. Jeremiah 15, verse 11. Verily, that means truly, it shall be very well with the remnant. Verily, truly, I will cause the enemy to treat you well in the day of evil and in the hour of affliction that is coming. Only the remnant is going to survive this thing. Jeremiah 23:3, and I will gather the remnant of my people out of all countries where I've driven them, and I will bring them again, and they shall be fruitful and increase. And I will set up shepherds over them that shall feed them the truth, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither they shall lack anything, says the Lord. Jeremiah 23, verse 5. And Jeremiah 23 is your homework assignment, folks. You should read it and study it carefully. As Michael said, chew on it, meditate on it. Jeremiah 23, verse 5. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will raise up unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and the king will execute judgment in the earth. Hallelujah. And it shall come to pass, the book of Joel, chapter 2, verse 32, it shall come to pass that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be deliverance. As the Lord has said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. Hallelujah. Folks, whether you, if you are born again, if you've received new life and salvation through your repentance and faith in Jesus Christ, then you have the privilege to be part of the remnant. The choice is yours, but we have to put down our sin. We have to put off the things of the flesh, the ways of the flesh, the mind of the flesh. We got to uproot the roots of bitterness. We got to do the warfare to take back the land in our hearts that we could consecrate ourselves unto the Lord. And then if you do, now, we need God's help for all of this, okay? So obviously, you pray for the anointing and pray for the help of the Lord in fulfilling all of his commandments to you. But if you, in your heart, do all that you can do to turn back to the Lord, that's all he's asking of us. He will help with the rest. And then you can become part of the remnant. I don't have time tonight to go into all the scriptures, but if, you know, mother, father, if you turn your life to the Lord fully in this time, and you become part of his remnant, if you pray without ceasing that you might be found worthy to escape all these things and be counted among the remnant that shall be delivered in this hour, the Lord delivers not only you, he delivers your children with you and your children's children as well. Even as he delivered Noah and all that were with Noah, everyone that was under Noah's covering was delivered because Noah was deemed worthy in the eyes of the Lord. So too it shall be with the remnant in this hour. I know this from things the Lord has shared with me. The ones who are under my covering are being delivered in this hour. Hallelujah. Our God is an awesome God. He's also a good God. He's the good Lord. He's a kind God. He's a merciful God. And he is never tired of forgiving his people. But we got to come out of denial. We got to come out of the false doctrines of apostate Christianity. And we've got to come out of Babylon. And we have to turn back to the Lord with all of our hearts. And when you seek him with all of your heart, you will find him. And you will find him to be the God of all mercy and the God of all compassion. And he's also the God who faithfully keeps his covenant with his people. And then you will become one of the jewels in his crown. And it will be of you that he said, I shall protect that which is mine. And you'll be delivered among the rest of the remnant. Brother and sister, if that be you, look me up when we get to Edom. And if you listen to this program, remind us, introduce yourself and tell me, hey, I heard you on Brother Frank's Remnant Call back when we were all in Babylon. And I'll look forward to meeting you. And for the rest of you, you know, we'll see you in the air. The dead in Christ are raised first. Listen, if you're appointed unto martyrdom, don't sweat the small stuff. We don't stay dead long. You know, even some of the anointed remnant will join the martyred church. The two witnesses are martyred. They're crucified at the end of these times, and then they are raised and they ascend into heaven. And we will all be with the Lord in the sky as we head on to Jerusalem to take back the kingdom and to take back this world for our God. And then we shall enter into the paradise of God. And I look forward to meeting and getting to know each and every one of you. And God bless you all. Michael, God bless you for participating in this program.
Well,
and Frank, may the Lord bless you for sponsoring it.
Amen. Hallelujah. Folks, that's a powerful word from Brother Benjamin and Michael tonight. And just if you're out there and you're struggling and you're like, man, I just feel like I can't break free. I don't know what to do. You know, in Jeremiah, God says, then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Believer, no matter where you're at, no matter what you've done wrong, no matter how bad you may have messed up, which we all have, everybody on this program here, we are number one when it comes to failures, okay? None of us are perfect. We've messed up. But God says, if you will come right now, with all your heart, you'll pour out everything, no matter where you're at. And God says, if you will just confess, acknowledge thine iniquity, God says, come clean with whatever you've been through. He says also in Jeremiah chapter 3 that I will heal your backsliding. God is in the business of healing fallen sinners and turning them into new creations. Brother Benjamin, thank you for that powerful word. Brother Michael, thank you for that powerful input tonight. And God is here and he's ready to do something. And I just want to say God bless each one of you and your ministry. And I look forward to having you all back soon.
Yeah, thank you very much, Frank. Yeah, God bless you.
Amen. Michael, God bless. And Frank, as always, brother, keep up the good work. And to our listeners, be encouraged. Jesus said, when you see these days coming to pass, when you see these things coming to pass on the earth, lift up your eyes, for your redemption is drawing near. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. And with that, brothers and sisters out there listening, keep looking up, relax, because it's all coming down very soon. This is Brother Frank and Benjamin and Michael with the Remnant Call saying good night and shalom.